This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry with the Reverend Steve Kramer. Today's message is a story of deliverance and purpose based upon Paul's word to the Ephesians, chapter 2. Stay with us for Pastor Kramer's message entitled, Your New ID, You Are a Masterpiece.
Did you know that you are God's masterpiece? Stay with me and find out more about yourself today. We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've created us in your image and that we're precious and important in your sight. We thank you for coming after us when we were lost in our sin and rescuing us through the suffering and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We praise you this day for your amazing grace. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Paul writes, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, and when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Dear friends, how would you describe yourself to someone else? The reason I'm asking this is we're talking about our identity these days on Christian Crusaders. If I am a follower of Jesus Christ, according to Scripture, I have a new identity. The Apostle Paul teaches us that in his letter to the Ephesians. Last week in chapter 1 of that letter, he taught us that we are saints who have been blessed richly. Today, he, in chapter 2, begins to give us another statement about who we are. He begins it, though, by telling a rescue story, which is actually your story and mine. It begins in the past. He said, "You were dead in your transgressions and sins." What does he mean by that? He's simply talking about you were dead to God. You were spiritually dead, unable to put yourself in a right relationship with God. You didn't meet the requirements of God's laws. You continually fell short and transgressed God's commandments. He said you followed the ways of the world instead of the ways of God. You took the values of a sinful world and made them your own. He said you were under Satan's control. Yes, I do believe there is a devil, if you're wondering that. And he operates subtly, kind of whispering to us, live for yourself. He tries to lead us astray and soon makes many individuals captive to his ways, which is a dead end. He said, you, like all of us, Paul goes on to say, lived according to the flesh. When he talks about the flesh, we're talking about those inner desires and appetites that are in each one of us. He said, you live to gratify the cravings of your sinful nature, your flesh, and follow those desires, those personal pleasures, such as needing, thinking that you need more, a sort of a greed, sexual perhaps, appetites, or feeding your ego, basically living for your self-gratification. He said, you were caught up in that. He said, all of us were. He said, it was so bad that by nature we were objects of God's wrath. We deserved punishment and judgment. That's a rather dark picture that Paul draws for us in this first section of the story. A hopeless predicament. But then it turns in verse 4 with a very important word or two. That word, but. He says, but, and then he follows it up, because of his great love for us, God, but God, because of his great love for us, he loves you, and he loves me, and we cannot even begin to fathom the depths of his love for us. Paul says he's rich in mercy. He shows mercy to those who don't deserve it. Paul goes on to describe an intervention. But God intervened. He made us alive together with Christ. Even when we were dead in our sin, our transgressions, our shortcomings, and our moral lapses, a hopeless future that separated us from a relationship with God, God made us alive with Christ. How did he do that? He sent us Jesus Christ, his perfect, sinless Son, who died on a cross and paid the penalty for your sinfulness and mine. And then he raised him again on the third day, and we have purchased for us an eternal life through his death and resurrection. And Paul goes on to say, he raised us up with Christ. We share in Christ's victory. Years ago, there was a Lutheran seminary professor who wrote some wonderful books of prose and poetry. His name is Gerhard Frost. And one of those pieces that stuck out for me that I've kept on file was entitled, We Won. It reads as follows. I remember a moment long ago in a small town restaurant, we'd played a basketball game, played away from home and won, and were in a celebrative mood. I was 14 and not very good, nor was our team, and this made victory sweeter still. As we crowded into our restaurant booth, I jauntily said, "Wow, we won!" Quick as the flash of a knife came the remembered words, "What do you mean, we? You didn't play." I can't forget the words of the one who spoke them, but I can turn to other words sounding in my soul. My Lord says, do this in remembrance of me. Baptized into the death of Christ, I die in him to rise again. With no part in the victory, I'm still invited to say, we won. And that's what Paul seems to be saying. We get to share in Christ's victory. We won. We are no longer just creatures of this world. We now belong to heaven. And we look to the future with a heavenly perspective. Paul goes on to say he has seated us with him, with God in the heavenly realms because of Jesus. We have a new position in life. I love that picture. We sit with God on his throne, maybe even on his lap, in a close, intimate relationship with him. We know him, and he knows us, and he speaks to us, and he shares his heart with us, and he reassures us again and again, you're mine. You have to ask, why? And Paul goes on to tell us why. He says, all this was done by God in Christ, with a single end in view, to demonstrate to successive ages the surpassing wealth of God's grace. In other words, this was God's publicity program for the whole of history and beyond. He said, and it's all been done by God's grace, this rescue. Grace meaning the undeserved favor of God. Paul says, rule out any sense of your own effort being involved in this. No one should ever boast about this. It's all been done by God in Christ. Years ago, someone shared with me an important little formula that I carry with me when I have the opportunity to speak with people who maybe don't know the gospel. I found it to be a helpful tool in describing the difference between Christianity and other religions. Other religions of the world are spelled D-O. Do this and do that, and God will reward you. You will be saved. Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E. Done. It's all been done by Jesus Christ for you. And you are invited to receive what has been done for you by placing your faith in Christ. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's our story. If you trust in Jesus, I was dead, but God made me alive through Jesus Christ. And it's all grace. Have you ever stopped to think about what your life would be like if Jesus hadn't rescued you? You'd be stuck living with old regrets because there'd be no forgiveness for sin. You'd be living in fear and anxiety of the future because you wouldn't know what is going to happen to you when you die. You'd be hopeless. You'd lack confidence. You would lack the power and the presence of Christ in facing the ups and downs of daily living. You'd be on your own, saying to yourself, if it's to be, it's up to me and me alone. But glory, hallelujah, none of this is the case. When one receives that gift of grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, then Paul ends this story by moving us into the present. He says, now, as a result of this saving that God has done for you in Christ, you are, present tense, you are God's workmanship, his work of art, his masterpiece, his trophy, maybe you could say. I was reminded of a story when I was studying this verse from Paul, from a 60 Minutes news show, a segment by Bob Simon. Very inspiring story about a community by the name of Catura in Paraguay, South America. It's built on a garbage dump, this little community, and everybody in the community makes their living picking through the garbage and turning it in. It's a rather destitute existence, and one of the individuals in that community was concerned about the future of the children, and he thought it would be wonderful if they could do something that would maybe raise the level of their future prospects. Thought maybe something like a musical program, an orchestra, but they had no instruments. Well, there was a man in that village who not only worked on the trash heaps, but he was a carpenter. Turns out he takes the trash and builds it into orchestra instruments. Violins are made from old discarded oven trays and cellos from oil drums and guitars are fashioned from big dessert cans and saxophones and trumpets from old drain pipes and bottle caps and drums from old X-ray slides. They then, after they are made into instruments, are given to the local children who are taught to play them. And now, lo and behold, there is an orchestra that plays beautiful music. You can actually see this on YouTube if you get on the internet. The title of the segment of this story was "The Recyclers: From Trash Comes Triumph." It's an amazing orchestra. Those kids have a future now. Well, listen, God has rescued us in Christ from the trash heap, hasn't he? And he's fashioned us into instruments that are meant to do beautiful things, to make beautiful music in the lives of those around us, and point people to God and his amazing grace. You have been created in Christ Jesus, Paul says, to do good works that God has prepared for you to do. Created in Christ reminds us again that we're new creations, new people in Christ. And what are we saved for? To do good works. We've been saved for good works, you see. Not saved by good works, but saved for good works. In response, you know, as we live the new future with Christ, Jesus said, "You're the light of the world. Let your light so shine that others see your good works and praise your Father in heaven." There's a new purpose and calling upon your life and mine when we place our trust in Jesus Christ. God has created good works for us to do in advance, and you matter. You have a place in God's plan to restore his world, to bring all together again under God's rule. You're on the team. You have a special place. You know, as a pastor for these past 35 years, it's been so much fun to watch folks in my church catch this vision and then act upon it. This past week, for instance, I was at a little prayer meeting to send off a young woman named Emma. She teaches school during the school year. Then this summer, she, for the past few summers, is headed off to China with a mission team to do missions work in a children's sports camp for poor kids. They're touching lives for Christ. And she feels so called to this ministry that God has tapped her on the shoulder to do this so that these Chinese children might meet Jesus. I have a friend in the church named Keith who each Monday morning faithfully gets up and drives to another little community a few miles away from here and works on a Habitat for Humanity work site alongside of folks that are trying to build a home that they can afford to live in. I have a sister in Christ named Debbie who each month organizes a team for a ministry called Loaves and Fishes. They serve a dinner to low-income people in the inner city who can't make their budgets meet. I have another sister in Christ, Kathy, who sends cards of encouragement to those who are in crisis or hurting in some way. I have Tom and Denny and Guy. They go to the prison down this road from us and Thursday evenings lead a Bible study program, and hundreds have been impacted by those men. Then there's Phyllis, who shows up here every Thursday afternoon and works with elementary kids from the local school at our after-school program. And then she goes to the nursing home, and she befriends elderly people that don't get many visitors. Amazing people who have caught the vision, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and they're living out the calling God's placed on them. You know, if you're in Christ, you can do that. God has surrounded you with people to impact for Christ. Might be a listening ear to someone who needs tender, loving care, or offering to pray for someone, a phone call to check in with someone and let them know they're not forgotten, or giving of your resources to help others, lead others to Christ. Might be a simple act of kindness. If you place your trust in Jesus and what he's done for you at the cross, you're in a pretty special position, all by God's grace. The appeal today is, you're God's masterpiece. Be who you are. Let your light shine for others that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven who has saved you by grace. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for the new ID that you've given us in Christ. Thank you for rescuing us and making us your own. And Lord, if there's anyone listening to this today that has not received the gift of salvation that you offer through faith in Christ, by the power of your Spirit, open the eyes and mind and heart of that individual to receive Christ Jesus and trust in what he's done for all of us. And help us to see the opportunities to shine for your kingdom in our relationships with others in this world. Lord, we simply want to be used now to your honor and glory. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has served as a reminder that you were rescued for a reason. God has made you into a new creation with a purpose and special place in God's rescue plan for our world. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. We invite you to visit our website where you can find both a printed and audio version of today's program, as well as other week's messages. Visit us online anytime at www.christiancrusaders.org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing cost is always appreciated. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you were able to worship with us today, and we pray you will join us next week on this same station. Conducting our service was our speaker, the Reverend Steve Kramer, senior pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously for the past 79 years.